Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Tech Wrapped Podcast. I'm Robert Scarpinito, your features editor.
And Rotten Editor-in-Chief.
Dan Rockwood, Chief Wii U Online Technician.
And Andrew Stretch, Senior Content Manager. I'll go normal because we had someone else being interesting along the way.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Someone's out of a job now. All right. Sorry, buddy.
Oops. It's all right.
Yeah. We had a little exciting opportunity here. We've had many exciting opportunities. Keep an eye on TechWrapper.net.
It's been lots of stuff happening.
Lots of cool stuff happening. Check out our site tomorrow for something pretty cool. But Stretch, you've been playing something that
I have.
Yeah.
I had a really cool opportunity to play a absolutely not before announced Prince of Persia game, which is, it's crazy. If you had told me in 2023 that in 2024 I would be playing and enjoying not one but two Prince of Persia games, I would have called you a damn fool.
Oh, you're playing through the Sands of Time trilogy again? That's good for you.
That's still coming. It.
An HD remake.
Wow. Did that come out or did that get delayed?
Oh no, that's not a thing.
That doesn't exist.
I had a chance to sit down with a representative of Ubisoft and play 30 minutes of The Rogue Prince of Persia, which is a new Prince of Persia roguelite. It is done by the team at Evil Empire, that anyone who's a fan of roguelites should know them by Dead Cells. If you haven't played Dead Cells yet, then, you know, play it. It's, you know, a real gold standard of roguelites, I feel. Yeah.
Clear, though, with them, they did the later content, not the initial development of Dead Cells.
Yeah, Motion Twin created the base of it.
A lot of the expansions you saw were them.
Well, they did the expansion content for it. Yeah. Prince of Persia, the Rogue Prince of Persia, really cool. It's got, like, I don't know how best to describe it, but you know, like, that look that French comics have? Like Tintin and Valerian and stuff. It's got that art aesthetic to it.
Oh, nice.
You know, a really nice 2D platformer. It's got the kind of let me start from the beginning. In this one, you're playing as a prince who his whole thing is that the kingdom has been invaded and attacked by Huns. And so you need to go and try to save the city, defeat the generals, yada yada. But every time you die, you have a mysterious amulet that will take him back to the last point in time that he was safe. So they're using the common Prince of Persia Sands of Time, like, time loop aspect, and they're just, like, hard writing that into the plot of the game. So, you know, you'll go and you'll try to explore the city, you'll defeat enemies, you'll unlock stuff, there's platforming challenges, and then you'll get your ass handed to you, and then you wake up back at the camp, and everyone's like, oh, this attack has just started, Prince, you should get to the castle. And it's like, hold my dagger, I know, let me go and, you know, run this back again.
You're Tom Cruise, you're telling me.
Yeah.
This is Edge of Tomorrow.
I hate how obvious that is. Like, it makes so much sense, and I'm like, man, I should have thought of that.
It fits for a roguelite.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, like, immediately, you know, as I said, I played it for 30 minutes. Immediately, the whole, like, looping and the awareness of knowledge came more into play that, like, I was going, you know, I went through a regular area, and I ended up in a conversation with someone who was saying, oh, you know, some people have been taken to the barbarian hideout. You know, you should really investigate that. And I was like, okay. And I pulled up my map and I wasn't really, like, there was no labeling. I wasn't really sure what was going on. But then the next time I died, there was, like, the option to go through, like, the normal path. And then there was a branched option of, like, hey, instead you can go up here to the barbarian village. And then even, like, an added menu got added to my select screen that was a whole, like, web of, you know, characters with different information and how that connects to different locations and stuff. So it seems like they're almost doing a little bit of, like, a death loop as you learn more, as more comes into play, you can now go out and go to a different place. And that's on top of all of these standard roguelite mechanics, like, you know, you get certain currency when you're out there, you deposit that currency before you die, and then when you respawn, you can now add a new weapon to the move pool. And then there's also medallions that you can pick up, which are like smaller term power-ups. That you've got a bay of 4 different power-ups, and each power-up not only has its own ability, but it will also either like it can empower one of the other adjacent ones. So when you've got your row of 4, if you've got a medallion that empowers the one to the left and the one to the right, then you'd make sure to put it in like the middle 2. And so it's like medallions don't just affect themselves, but you can then like stack effects on each other. I ended up with an immediate broken combo where every time I killed an enemy with a status affliction, I regained a small portion of health. It was like 1% health. But every time I kicked an enemy, they would drop resin. And then anytime I would bounce, like kick an enemy and bounce them off a wall, it would start a small fire. But the resin and the fire interact. So instead of just getting like a small bit of fire, like half of the platform would now be on fire, and then they'd burn to death, and I'd regain a little bit of health.
That's pretty cool.
So is this like a fast, like a Dead Cells, like you're just cruising through stuff, or is it like a little... Okay.
Very much so. All of the traversal is so Prince of Persia. Yeah. I was really impressed with the wall run, that they do a good job of, you know, really making you aware when you do and do not have something in the background to wall run. But the wall run isn't just left to right and right to left. You can angle it to get like an arc to the point that if you're like standing and you have a wall behind you, you can just wall run up the wall directly behind you and then like jump to another wall on the left and ride that up. So even in a completely 2D space, it feels like you have a bit of the third dimension out in front of you.
That's pretty sweet. Yeah. No yellow paint to tell you could do that?
No yellow paint. Good.
I
spent 28 minutes in the tutorial just trying to figure out how jumping worked.
I've seen that before in a similarly described game.
It's kind of going to be my question, because I feel like roguelites, when you look at the gaming community, there are people who love them and play a ton of them, and there are people who don't play very many. Do you find this to be an acceptable one if someone's never played a roguelite before, or should they come in with some previous experience?
I think that this is a good one to start out with, especially because it does... Like the obtaining of more information, I think, is a non-traditional roguelite mechanic that will draw people in more. Because, I mean, I've played a lot and really enjoy a lot of roguelites, but normally they're pretty story and like interconnectivity light. Like, you do the runs because you love the gameplay. I think that this adds that bit of story element, as well as it's not just combat but also like platforming, to make it appeal to a wider audience.
True.
Hearing from Ubisoft, they did say that this is it's going to be Steam Early Access May 14th. They just announced it at the Triple I show, but what they wanted to really construe, and this is probably you know, something that they're confident in with their background at Evil Empire, is that they were saying that like the core mechanic, the movement, the interaction of the prince and how he moves in the world, that's all set, because they don't want to release a buggy early access game. That what early access is going to be is like more places to go, more interconnected stories, and then more permutations of like weapons and medallions.
That's what I was gonna wonder, because like I play Dead Cells every once in a while, and every time, like, because I'll play it for a while and then they'll do a bunch of updates and I'll play it again, And every time I come back, I'm like, oh my God, there's so much to this game. Like, it's that would be one that would be like, that's intimidating now. When it first came out, I would say it's a perfect one to start with. But now it's like, oh my God, there's so much to do, so much to take in. That this one, what I like about this, seems more streamlined. I mean, obviously, it's not fully finished because it's going to be on an early access. So who knows what it'll end up looking like. But
I like the idea of, you know, their idea of early access is feature complete, but not content complete.
Yeah.
But they can, like, gesture to the wall of ridiculous Dead Cells updates that they've been churning out and say, don't worry, the content will get there.
Yeah, I mean, like, when you think of however they're handling, you know, the different, like, buffs and items that you can get, like, you can kind of be endless with what you want to put in there, as Dead Cells can show you. There's an insane amount in that game.
Yeah.
So it's crazy that we're 4 months into this year and I've played two really good Prince of Persia games.
That is pretty crazy.
Yeah, and I don't know. For me, I'm kind of like, it's making me rethink my general vibe on Ubisoft now, because I'm like, you know, they're bigger games I'm personally not the biggest fan of. They kind of feel samey, but hey, give
you
me
like
more
Avatar?
Of these. You mean Far Cry?
Hey man, as someone who played Avatar as well, nope. Yeah. No bueno.
It's pretty. Yeah. It's pretty looking.
But I mean, because the Lost Crown, honestly, I really enjoyed that one, right? Like, that's such a fun game. Good. Like, a little.
That was one of our biggest surprises last year when we got our first hands-on on it.
Oh, yeah. So much fun. And that was from the Rayman team, right? And now there's this one from where, like, Ubisoft's working with an indie studio that's known for roguelikes, right? So, yeah, I'm really excited to see where this is gonna go. And I hope
it would be, No, I'll just piggyback off what you said. It'd be really cool if that's a new strategy for Ubisoft going forward. Like, hey, let's do this smaller budgety stuff. Because I don't know what the sales are like for their big budget. Because I'm sure Assassin's Creed probably sells pretty well every time because Assassin's Creed and stuff.
Yeah.
But they've got some pretty big names that they've tried to get people to buy that doesn't seem like it's sold as well. Like, maybe a Watch Dogs Legion didn't probably sell as well as they'd hoped, I would imagine. And that kind of stuff. So, but all these small games have been really cool. So I'm totally in with that.
Yeah, I mean, especially in the landscape of games that we're seeing at the moment, this is the strategy that Nintendo is taking, that we're seeing Nintendo be very successful at, while the rest of the AAA industry is kind of crumbling under the weight of their own IP.
Yeah.
That I would love more small to medium sized games. Of IP that I like.
Same.
Exactly.
Yeah. Prince of Persia. I'm excited for this. This is going to be good. Because honestly, all of this talk is just making me want to play Dead Cells, right? Like, I want to just leave this podcast.
I was thinking, it's been a minute since I played. I'll probably play it now.
Yeah.
Hey, man, we're a little over a month away until you can get your hands on the Rogue Prince of Persia.
It's true.
It's true.
Yeah. I mean, I'll give it a shot. Particularly, I'm interested in that art style, how that works out. That sounds pretty good to me.
Oh, and the music slaps. It is so good. Every new area I walked into, I paused and just like sat and listened for 20 seconds and just be like, yeah, this is good. This is fucking good.
Yeah.
Nice. Oh, there we go. Yeah. And I'm excited for that. That'll be cool. You know, you mentioned Nintendo earlier, Dan. You wanted to talk. Well, you're like our Nintendo.
He's our resident Nintendo man.
Yeah, you're like, you are the uncle at Nintendo. I feel
that's
like
right.
In some ways.
Yeah,
man. I mean, what an honor of a tag to have, for sure. I want to talk about one of my favorite topics today with you guys, and that's the Wii U, because we don't talk about it enough, in my opinion.
It wasn't talked about enough when it was able to be purchased on the shelves either.
Yeah,
I mean, that was a marketing issue. We know that.
You know, as sad as I am that the Wii U didn't succeed, like, it brought us the Switch. So I don't know if I want to go back in time and reset that timeline.
Yeah, there was a bunch of really good games on the Wii U.
A lot of them did get ported, except for like some of the biggest ones, like Wind Waker HD and Twilight Princess HD. But we're waiting for those.
Well, no one likes those games
Switch
anyway.
Switch 2.
Those baby games. Yeah, no one wants those.
That's dumb.
But
what are you talking about? A 3D HD collection has been teased every single year.
Yeah. Yeah, and right. Guys, don't worry. Silksong is coming out right now.
Yeah. Yeah. The 3D HD collection I've heard has been finished for a long time. They're just waiting to release.
It's just sitting on a computer in Kyoto. Right. They just got to hit release.
Although, you know what's weird is, like, with how Nintendo is, I'm like kind of like, I don't, that could be true. You know what I mean?
But they would shadow drop and that.
You can only buy it for 6 months, and then they somehow delete
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
Absolutely. No, that's, but if they do release it, if they want to distribute it digitally, we know that it's not something that would be available on the Wii U, even though those games were on the Wii U. Because we are losing online functionality on the Wii U and 3DS this week, where we're recording, we still have a couple of days left. But when this goes up, it's done. You can't play online on Wii U anymore. And the three of you may be asking, well, what would you play online on Wii U? Splatoon 1! Is on Wii U. You can still go. And
I would
play
still like
levels.
To ask what I would play
yeah,
on the Wii U.
Well, okay,
you
wait.
Any, can you offer anything else?
There was like a Call of Duty on Wii U, right?
Yeah, there, well, were, there, is there were. There were. I think two Call of Duties. If you wanted to play Super Smash Brothers for Wii U, that had it wasn't great online, but that had online.
You also could play that 3DS online. Also not great.
But that's true, and that's the I'm focusing a lot on the Wii U, but it should be noted the 3DS online functionality is closing down as well, so we're losing both of those ecosystems.
Did you guys see the cool stuff happened with Mario Maker?
Yeah, yes. I was literally just pulling up Team 0%.
If people aren't familiar with it, there is a group of Mario Maker creator people that wanted to make sure that before the online services went down, that every single Mario Maker map uploaded had been cleared at least once by somebody. And there were a lot that weren't. But in the last one, it took them a long, like quite a while. Because I watched the video of what that was, and I'm like, that's fucking insane. It's basically
so are you,
an incredible.
Are you talking about the
moves.
Lost Dance or Trimming the Herbs?
I couldn't tell you the name of it. I just remember it was a lot of juggling the bomb around.
Yeah, so I think that was Trimming the Herbs. Did you hear about the controversy with all of this?
No. Well, I know that this guy said he like cheated making it or something.
Yeah, so that was it.
The guy that made it cheated to get it done.
So a big part of any of the Mario Maker uploads is that you need to beat the game to then upload it. And so he created this level that, you know, he created it and beat it with a task bot, with a tool-assisted speedrun. But people didn't know that task was even possible with Mario Maker. Like, it hadn't been figured out a way to make it work. But this guy uploaded Trimming the Herbs with a task. And it was meant to be, and he says this all now, because everyone was like pushing for that to be the final one. And then he had to come out and be like, guys, I'm so sorry. Like, this was a task that I uploaded it with. It's not beatable. That his thought at the time was that, oh, if this level gets enough buzz as not being able to be completed, then after like a month or two of it being out and it being in the cultural zeitgeist, I would reveal that it was a TAS upload, and then I would launch, you know, publicly announce and launch the TAS tools to everyone. But it just never hit the cultural zeitgeist, so there was never a chance for him to do this big showman reveal, and so he just never did that. So the tool-assisted speedrun, like the ability to do tool-assisted speedruns in Mario Maker, has been a thing for the past 7 or 8 years, but just only a few people have known about it.
Which is fantastic.
The final level got cleared by Sanix. Trimming the Herbs, previously thought to only be completable with a tool-assisted speedrun, and they are now at 101% completion.
I would encourage you to go watch the video of what that level is, because it's insane.
And it's a short level.
Long. It's like 10, 13 seconds, maybe 30 seconds. But it's basically 30 seconds of pixel perfect perfection is what's necessary.
Yeah.
That's so what wild. We're saying is man will always win against the machine.
Machines don't got us yet, boys.
Yeah. Yeah. Fuck off, automatons. But Yeah, so that's this is and as of now though, right? Like no one can play that level because
that's right.
Because now the Nintendo
not in an official
Wii U.
Way.
No,
I don't know if there's been a way to like download maps off. People are crazy though. All these hackers.
Yeah, I'm sure there's. I mean, I've been even reading that some of the online games, not to bring it back to Splatoon 1, but if you want to go the hacking route, like there are fan-made servers that can be set up and you can, you know, access those in an unofficial capacity.
I'm sure Nintendo is very pro people doing that.
Oh, yes.
Can I, can I ask you, Dan, I just want to get on your, like, you know me, big Splatoon, love Splatoon.
Of course.
Yeah, I could tell by your shirt.
Yeah, it's the colors of Splatoon, one of them at least. So is there a genuine reason you would want to play Splatoon 1 now versus Splatoon 3?
I'm so happy you asked that question. So
I'm scared.
Splatoon 1, if you follow the lore of Splatoon, look, Splatoon
No, you don't need to explain it to me. I know the lore, but maybe for the other two chuckle fucks on the pod, just so they know.
Of course, yeah.
I'm ready.
Yeah.
I want to know.
So
teach
for
me.
Any listeners who don't know, no, so you can have the one of the most obvious changes is the two characters who run your like daily broadcast, Callie and Marie, are in Splatoon 1. So they're in Splatoon 3 in a capacity. If you get the DLC, they're there, but they're not the ones like operating that broadcast. You're in a different city and it's a different news crew. So if you just miss like their banter, you can still log in and play Sam and run in the offline stuff in Splatoon 1, but the majority of it is online PvP. That's true in 2 and 3 as well. So you're going to lose that. What I am most going to miss out on are there are certain levels that are only in Splatoon 1 that never made it over. My favorite Splatoon level is Salt Spray Rig, which is just like you're out in the ocean, it's this big oil rig, and you battle on it. And I am currently this weekend playing a lot of Splatoon. I've got my Wii U with me and ready to go pretty much right when we're done recording. I can hit that little icon and hop in because I want to be able to play Salt Spray Rig one last time. I'm hoping they eventually bring it over to Splatoon 3, but they didn't bring it to Splatoon 2, and it's not in 3. There's another level, Moray Towers, that has not been ported over. And it did a really great functionality with the gamepad. It's one of the games that really use the gamepad well, where you have your map just available all the time. You can tap on the map if you want to launch to a specific location. You can do that on the Switch, but you need to bring up the map on the screen, select where you want to go. So there's just some really cool functionality and levels that we are missing in 2 and 3 that the original just did so well, and I'm really gonna miss it. Like, I spent a ton of time on this game, and it's just really disappointing that I'm not gonna be able to go back and replay those levels and all my gear that I've unlocked that's currently locked to the Wii U, like everything that's there. It almost feels like it was all for nothing in a way. But
this is why we need NFTs. Then you could bring that gear forward.
That will work. Mm-hmm. Well, at least you'll have foam stars to fill that hole.
You're absolutely right.
You know, hey, like, ditto, man. I was thinking all of that same stuff for me too. So thanks for putting it in the
same levels. What's your favorite Splatoon level?
You know,
it's not those two, Scrappy. Nate, what's your favorite level? Not those two, of course. I mean, because we just talked about them.
I don't know. I really like Rust.
Rust.
Yeah, my favorite map is Dust 2. That's my favorite map.
Yeah, I mean, that's an interesting aspect with the unique form factor of the Wii U as well. It's like, okay, if a map's not there, then you can look forward to Splatoon Ultimate, where they proudly announce that everyone is here. But when it comes to like the change in like physical format of the hardware, that you don't have a touchscreen gamepad in front of you, there's just a lot that is going to get lost on the 3DS and on the... and on the Wii U, gameplay wise.
Yeah, I guess it's the last of the like two screen thing is the Wii U and the 3DS kind of.
That's usually. I just started replaying. Well, I wanted my wife to play through Ocarina of Time, so we started every Wednesday. I have her set up on the Switch with Nintendo Online, and I got an N64 controller for her to use. Hey, it's working pretty well for her. But I'm playing the 3DS version, so we're playing our own games, but together, and then I can help her through stuff. And having that second screen and the map and my gear and everything on that second 3DS screen is it's just so convenient. Like, I love... Yeah. I would love some kind of a second screen to come to the Switch at some point.
But at least you can still play that, right? Because like it's like
that you can still play. Online,
yeah. So. Yeah. But the 3DS Ocarina of Time is actually like maybe the best. Like the it's a good version of the game.
Though. I don't disagree. Yeah, it's extremely well done.
I think that when Nintendo tax happens and like Pokemon Black and White cartridges or Pokemon Emerald nowadays, if you want to purchase it physically, is like $150.
Oh my god.
Once the download servers are gone, then if someone had a 3DS and they wanted to download, they wanted to get Ocarina of Time 3DS, they need to go physical, and if they need to go physical, then stuff's immediately going to start ramping up in price once the digital store is gone.
I wonder if there's another way to play these games. I don't think so. Anyway,
It doesn't sound right.
No, but Dan missed on an opportunity. You could have said anything about Splatoon. You could have made up anything about the lore, and I would have just been like, that in my brain, I'd be like, that's what it is now.
Yeah,
I would tell people that.
But truth is stranger than fiction, don't you think?
When you tell people who don't know Splatoon but know of it that it's like a post-apocalyptic universe, they kind of don't believe it quite right away, but there's a lot of just weird stuff that goes on. There's evidence of a great war that was happening. The Octolings were like pushed underground, and there was a whole thing of them being like second class citizens. It's a whole thing. So if you haven't played Splatoon 1, get a Wii U, play through the like story level at least, and then you'll get an understanding.
Yeah, Splatoon is woke.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Wow.
So Nintendo's telling a racist story? A racism story? Not racist, I'm sorry. Is
wrong word. They hate mushrooms, man.
It's so funny because really the Octolings, there was this war and they're like, the Octolings are our enemies. But Splatoon 2, especially in the DLC, it kind of opens up of like, actually they're not so bad and they can live peacefully together. It's a whole thing.
Some of my best friends are Octolings.
Yeah.
There
you go.
I know how these stories get told.
It's a really sad day for like game preservation with these online services closing down. And it makes it, we're losing a lot of stuff. We talked about Mario Maker, all of those levels. In my view, the two biggest losses are Splatoon 1 and Mario Maker. There are other games you can play online on the Wii U, but some of those are going to be available on other systems that you can still play. Some of those they didn't rely on the online functionality as well. So it's just sad that it's going away. So pour one out for your old Nintendo consoles.
Yeah, I get that. And
I think I know where my 3DS is. I couldn't tell you though.
Oh, I know where mine is. It's like in a drawer right here.
Mine's in a bag. I have my own console bag.
Gotta have
it's
that.
It's not quite as extensive as Stretch's console bag, but it has
a pretty extensive console bag.
I think it's got a 3DS, a PSP, and something else in there. I don't remember.
What I'm wondering is, y'all remember Street Pass? What does this mean for Street Pass? Is Street Pass dead?
Is Street Pass even still a thing? I need to double check that because years at PAX East, like Street Pass was the best thing, and collecting and meeting people from like all over the world.
That's why I did my first E3. I brought it.
Yeah. So I'll need a double check on Street Pass because I do think that either went away when the eShop went down or will be going away soon.
I mean, what does it rely on from the eShop?
I don't know.
That I'm not sure.
Because it's technically just peer to peer.
Yeah.
It probably just continue to do it. Because
that first E3 I went to was E3 2016, something like that. But I did not have my 3DS on me at the time. We went to go get the badges for it to go, prior to it opening. And we did. That's when we saw Reggie. And I was like, I could have street passed Reggie maybe. And I missed the opportunity.
Okay, according to Reddit, and this thread is a couple of years old, but Street Pass, the technology it depends on, like Stretch said, peer-to-peer, it does work and in theory will work forever. I think what I am thinking of is so many people have moved on to the Switch. That's what they bring to conventions now. Yeah, there aren't many people bringing their 3DS systems, so you just don't Street Pass as many people.
Honestly, you would think they would carry that into the Switch, because like the Switch does do that thing where if you want to make a friend with someone, you could like it does do the kind of near communication. Yeah. Like if you're in the blue room, you can meet other people in the blue room to befriend them. So I don't know.
That was such a great feature. That was
COVID ruined everything, man.
The one time that I have been to Japan was during the height of the 3DS, and just walking around with friends,
all over
with the 3DSs out. Just consistently getting, because you could only street pass with like 30 people at a time.
Yeah.
And then you needed to like filter through them all to like clear them out. So it would be like, you know, walking for an hour, everyone would pull out their 3DSs, everyone would mash through people, put their 3DSs away again so that we could just like keep churning through.
Good times.
Yeah. You would think like the phone games would take over that space, right? Like I feel like the mobile gaming market is kind of prime for having some kind of app on your phone to be like, hey, you're near, like they did it for COVID, why can't they do it for gaming? You know what I mean? You're near someone who got COVID, why can't it be like you're near someone who's playing AFK Arena? Like
maybe you could make that game.
Yeah,
I you could, and just make it some riff on COVID.
Yeah, could call spread, it what, you, pandemic
be spreading it. Yeah, well,
that would be cool, a pandemic game where
that actually
like
uses that, that'd be fucking rad actually.
Like or, in, I mean it would just
life,
be
like what was that thing in WoW, the
the plague,
yeah, could just do that,
that
in
they
real
used
life.
For study, like genuine scholars used for studies.
Yeah,
that would be super interesting to see how quickly you could like send
cool, like
quote-unquote virus.
Yeah, because but the pandemic, you make your own virus, has different properties to see how it works, and obviously you can start it in different parts of the world.
Well, you could probably do it that like everyone has their own virus, and then you could like see which ones you've been infected with, and you could probably see like point of origins as well. If you could be like, holy shit, I just got hit by this virus. It started. Yeah, it started in, you know, Uruguay or something. Yeah. Like, wow.
No, we need to shut up and make this a real thing before we publish.
That's a pretty fucking rad app, like a game idea. I would download this.
We're giving away secrets.
Niantic, give us a call, boys.
Scrappy and I have chatted with Niantic before. So oh, you guys have as well.
I know people there.
Yeah, we had some good times in Niantic.
Cut
good
this
folks
out.
There. Yeah, this is a top secret, confidential.
Nobody steal this.
Embargo never, or always.
Man, I can't believe we're just streaming our pitch meetings like this.
We gotta get a publisher on board immediately.
Yeah.
That someone call Rutt. He'll invest.
Yeah. That dude don't invest in anything. He's a moron. How much money he puts into this place.
I can't say anything because I checked my Robinhood account the other day and like it's bad. I got swept up in AMC and GameStop and I made some really bad decisions.
Oh no. You're still holding on to it?
I'm still these diamond hands. Diamond.
Oh my god, you're holding, dude.
Diamond is forever.
Hey
yeah,
man.
Are you a Wall Street Bets guy? Come on.
AMC, I was morons? For like a summer. The summer that I spent on Wall Street Bets was a good
dude,
time.
It was glorious. That sub is still one of my favorites to go to because they only celebrate losses.
Yeah.
They're like, look, I lost 10 grand. They're like, yeah, you're stupid. Like one of us.
Yep.
It's great.
But
it's
the so AMC stock weird. Is on sale right now. So if you want some financial advice,
don't follow what he's saying.
I feel like a stock should never be described as on sale.
Yeah.
Never 50% ever.
Off. That's what it means when it says minus 50%, right? It's 50%
off.
Yeah,
it's 50% off. So you just pick up more.
Perfect.
The best thing and the worst thing I learned from Wall Street Bets is you don't actually lose money unless you sell. So I'm down,
I guess
you know, 700 bucks.
That's true.
But I don't sell, so I haven't lost that money yet, really.
So I got in on the GameStop stuff, but I made money. And I made not a small amount of money.
Oh, that's
that
good.
That was pretty rad.
I'm
like,
jealous.
Fuck that, I'm out. Well, I saw that.
I got in by accident where I bought like a week before this took off just because, and then I checked like a week later and it was up $100 when I bought it for like $5. I was like, what is happening?
Ooh, yeah.
And then I was an idiot and tried to buy more, and then that's where I started making mistakes.
Disc.
Yep.
Yeah, Robin Hood is my favorite mobile game.
Well, it's a great game. And so, I mean, speaking of, you can do all this online and, you know, saving money and making money. The big thing about the Wii U, it didn't cost you money for online services. Nintendo wasn't charging to be online. Not like now on the Switch. You need that Nintendo Switch online subscription, which
at least it's way cheaper than everybody else's.
So yeah, much like 20 cheaper. A year.
20, well, unless you do that expansion, what do they call it? Expansion pass or whatever?
Yeah,
which I do have. And that's like, of I think, and I have a family plan. So it's like $80 a year, I think, for me.
I do the group expansion plan with eight guys, with seven other guys that I went to college with.
That's
and
so
they're
smart.
All family.
That's right. Yeah. You're related to all of them.
So it's, you know, Wii U, we're losing a lot of free, like, online functionality. Never had to pay for that. And, I mean, the Switch is going on, like, I think it just turned 7 years old in March because it came out 2017,
yeah,
right?
Oh,
so,
yeah.
And where signs are pointing toward new Nintendo hardware, you know, later this year. So it's, we're going to be at least a couple generations behind, but it's still a very sad thing.
Next year for next hardware, probably.
That's right. Next year. Yeah. I forgot they had delayed that.
Well, what we're talking here about the future of Nintendo, I kind of want to pick everyone's brains here. Do we think the next Switch is going to be a good or bad one? The next generation?
Because I mean, historically, it's going to suck.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking, right? It's like historically you got
if you go by what Nintendo has done, yeah.
Yeah, like Super
technically,
Nintendo,
though,
GameCube.
Technically Wii U. Though, I think that they've never had a handheld that sucked. So
true.
If it continues to be a hybrid handheld, will it break the curse?
Yeah. Maybe. Has everybody even bought all the like weird models of existing ones? Like a Game Boy Advance SP. You bet your ass I had one of them.
Oh, yeah. Game Boy Micro.
Game Boy Micro was, it's still huge. People still buy that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so.
Going handheld is one of the best marketing decisions Nintendo could make because my household, we have one gaming PC, one Xbox, one PS5, and three Nintendo Switch consoles for two people. So it's you're gonna encourage people to buy multiples for, you know, multifamily homes and everything.
Do we think it's gonna have a similar form factor? Because they've never had something that looks the same as the previous thing. They've all been
except for the handhelds.
Different. The handheld is different, but that's this weird thing where they've merged them. Now they're all in one thing. So my guess is it's going to be very, very, very similar to the Switch.
Yeah, I feel like they've struck gold in a way unlike any other with Nintendo with the Switch, right? Like that is such a perfect device. I mean, it's showing its age now for sure, right? Yeah. When you compare it to like the PS5 and the Xbox Series X,
it's what's really getting them is like stuff like the whatever the Asus handheld's called, I can't remember, and the Steam Deck. Oh.
The ROG something.
Yeah, and there's a few others that are relatively cheap that are like work really well. Obviously, the thing they don't have is Nintendo games. It's assuming you're not emulating on them, or something. And that's always what Nintendo's going to have is people. I will buy a Nintendo console forever, regardless of what it is, because that's where Mario lives.
I agree with you, right? Because I have a Steam Deck now, and I'm like before the Steam Deck. The Switch was my indie gaming machine and my Nintendo exclusive machine. Now it's just my Nintendo exclusive machine.
Yep.
And then it would make me curious if they do release just like a beefier Switch, where does that put the Steam Deck? Depending on what the specs look like and all that, right?
Obviously the thing with something like Steam Deck, people that are more into that, Steam in particular, Valve in particular, started to put a lot of work into making it like very customizable and user, you can do whatever you want with it. You can change the hardware out of it. You can change the software. They don't give a shit. They don't care about any of that.
Yeah.
Nintendo, not so friendly when it comes to that.
Yeah. No. And I guess too, with the Steam Deck, you've got, you know, like strategy type games like those, you know, like Crusader Kings and Civilization. Like those kind of things.
I wouldn't want to play them on there, but you could.
Me neither, but that's the thing, you could. On the Switch, you can't.
Well, I mean, if they swapped up the dock, keyboard and mouse.
No, maybe.
A keyboard and mouse with a Nintendo console feels icky. I don't even want to say it.
You don't want to watch
Mario Paint says fuck you.
Yeah. Well, I say that when I learn typing when Mario teaches typing.
Yeah.
There you go.
That's right.
Mario's always been there for you.
That's right. Damn. Yeah.
I am Nintendo excited. We'll see. I have some trepidation about this, but I think it's April 11th is the first in-game day for Persona 4 Golden, and I have that on Switch. So I'm going to be attempting to play that through in real time, because I did that with Persona 5 Royal. It was great, but I'm a little nervous about Persona 4 Golden. I don't think it has some of the optimizations that Royal had, so it's I think it's going to be a more challenging experience.
There's some conveniences are not there, for sure. Okay.
Yeah, I may bounce off this one and not see it to completion.
Because
but I'm
you're
try.
Only playing one day at a time, it might because you're not getting stuck slogged through something for like 4 hours.
Yeah, it can get challenging though. The hardest part with Persona 5 Royal was like one of the longest in-game days is Christmas Eve. So I spent my Christmas Eve like basically just in front of the TV just playing like many hours of this game.
if you haven't played Persona, that's like the final boss.
Of
the base game at least. Yeah.
So I'm looking forward, and that'll be on my Switch. That'll be a cool experience. I've been saving money for a Steam Deck. I just haven't bought one yet because, like, I do play a good number of games on Steam. I love my gaming PC, but I just don't know, like, what kind of functionality I would have that I can't just get from my PC right now. And I'm waiting until, like, basically get a game on PC that I would really want to be able to play handheld. And honestly, Helldivers 2 would be that, but I have that on PS5, and they have not set up cross-progression yet, so I don't want to start something on
just
PC.
Just get a PS Portal.
So much.
Yep.
Right.
I've been, you know, it's funny because I wrote the article to be like, who needs one of these? And now I kind of want one. So if they ever come in stock and I can get one, I may end up purchasing one.
You don't want one.
Honestly, I think this Steam Deck is best for like indie type games, personally. That's where I would put it. Like, that's where I played Balatro, which also great game. It's a lot of fun. But it's where I plan to play like Stardew or Dead Cells will forever live on my Steam Deck. Like, I'm just never going to play anywhere
else.
The
Rogue Prince of Persia can live on your Steam Deck.
Yeah, that'd be a good one for it, probably. Mm-hmm.
I have a Prince of Persia question, because I've never played any game in that series. Is it all the same Prince of Persia? Are you Jake Gyllenhaal in every game?
No. Nope. Well, you can imagine.
Yeah.
I think I will.
You want to be.
There are some games that have direct continuity, like the PS2 era had like three that were the same prince in a row, and like there was an overall story. But I believe for pretty much every other Prince of Persia game, it is its own unique thing. It's really just it's really even just the game will have something to do with the Prince of Persia. In Prince of Persia, The Lost Crown, you don't play as the prince. Your main aim for the first half of the game is to rescue the prince, and then you kind of rescue him, and then you just like, then it's a bit of a weird revenge mission.
Yeah.
But in this one, you are actually playing as a prince.
That's cool.
But yeah, otherwise, there's no like, you don't have to do required reading. There's no comics or movies to watch before it. Like,
well, there is a movie.
Well, true. You don't have to watch that one to know your way around this franchise.
That's good to know. Dude. I was asking Halo questions to a friend of mine. He kept pointing me to the books. I'm like, dude, I don't want to read about Halo.
There's very few gaming franchises that have books that are worth the shit. And the selection is very small.
Mm-hmm. Assassin's Creed books are really good. But that's mostly just because it's like a historical adventure. Like, they don't even really talk about... I read the Assassin's Creed 2 book, they don't even talk about the Animus or any of the future stuff. It is literally just a book about Ezio.
There you go.
Honestly, that's better. I always wanted Assassin's Creed to just be like, forget the Animus stuff. Just tell me weird stories from history, like alternate history. That's all I want.
Yeah, I've got some very, very important I need to bring up that we need to speak about. Did anybody see, and I'm not a person that follows the scene, but did anybody see that wrestler that went out there as Karlach?
No.
It's
pretty fucking rad.
It's really fucking good. The makeup work on her was astounding.
Yeah, it looks exactly like looks like
and
Karlach.
They gave a big shout out to Larian for like allowing her to do that.
It's what? Athena is the wrestler's name. Actually, I don't follow wrestlers at all, so I don't know anybody.
Yeah, I haven't followed wrestling since high school.
But I saw this and I was like, that is really rad. And she came out there with an axe and stuff. And she's wearing the get it, like, it's a very good Karlach looking costume. And she's all red and everything. That was pretty rad, though.
That is pretty,
pretty good.
I'm sharing an image of it Karlach. So that we on the podcast can take a look.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I guess you can Google it if you would like. Oh, dang. Wow. That is actually pretty rad.
Yeah, like it wasn't some like half not to, you know, like to do like a shade of makeup that looks kind of like it. No, like she went full on.
Mm-hmm.
Cool stuff.
Yeah, yeah, some good commitment.
Yeah, I do love the, there's like a little crossover in like the gaming and wrestling communities that that's just pretty chill.
Yeah, we can.
Well, I think that for the longest time that crossover between the gaming and the wrestling has kind of seemed to be more centered on the fans. Now we're starting to see it a whole bunch more, like, in the wrestlers and in the community. That's a really cool thing for them to have picked up on.
Agreed.
Anyway, it's just important news because it's about Karlach. That's all. All you guys people talk about Shadowheart. Shadowheart fucking sucks. She blows.
Yeah. You know, I've been looking around for, like, a mobile game to kind of take up some of my time. So I've been looking for, like, idle games. We talked a little bit about it last week, right? With Flash games.
Rutledge is addicted to those.
Yeah.
He is probably the foremost leader in the world on idle games.
He's the most idle gamer.
Yes. Yeah.
So I've been using Clicker Heroes to take up a lot of my time, but I've been trying to explore around and see what's new. There's just one I've been playing with called Penguin Isle, which is just like you build an island of penguins and you spawn more penguins to mine more gold to spawn more penguins. It's kind of the whole, it's very, the art style is very just like cozy chill, which I'm like, this is almost too chill.
We need to get back to Kitten's Game.
See, I wanted to go back to Kitten's Game, but the mobile version of it kind of sucks.
Yeah, and then you ruined it by cheating.
I did. Yeah, I hacked the game.
Fucking ruined it.
Wow.
I hacked the universe.
This is an old pull, like old callback to like a very early in the podcast we were all doing. I had to introduce Kitten's Game to people.
Yeah.
And we got addicted to it for like a month.
Yeah, and like, well, because Kitten's Game, if you haven't seen it, it's literally all numbers. Like truly, it's all like the interface is all numbers.
I did it because I could play it at work. That's how I found it.
Yeah. But on big mobile, I just feel like that. It just does not feel as good.
Oh, so you're, how many penguins do you have?
Like almost 40.
40?
40.
Not 40,000?
No.
What kind of clicker game is this bullshit?
It's not really even a clicker game. It's just
you saw
automation.
It that way.
It's more automation than anything. Mm. Like you just let them do
I
things.
Wanted to know, I wanted to picture like 10,000 penguins in a mine.
I mean,
mining for gold.
I'm sure if you play it long enough, you could get there. But I don't know. I still haven't found like one that really scratches the right itch. Like Kitten's Game is really unlike any other, you know?
They have voiceover by Morgan Freeman.
I don't know. I turn voice off. I turn all audio off on mobile games.
Well, you never know. They might have got him.
It's true.
He's just a penguin
feet,
lover.
The idle game.
Pretty much,
March of, you know what I'm talking about? You guys didn't
March
see
of
that?
Penguins.
I got you.
Okay. Yeah. That was Morgan Freeman.
And then I tried, AFK, we were joking about AFK Arena earlier. There's now AFK Journey. That's like a new
yeah,
thing.
Yeah,
I
keep seeing a lot of people ads for that.
Yeah, so I actually downloaded that to see what it's like. It is not idle enough for me. It's actually very active.
Too much to do.
Well,
shit,
like
I can pay too much attention.
There's a virtual joystick involved, and there's a long story. It's like an actual RPG.
Yeah.
Like, you run around on
get
an overworld, and then when you run into a battle, then it's the idle game, but it's like hex... It's like a hex grid thing where you place units and then they fight automatically.
So it's like a Dota chess kind of thing.
Yeah, it's like an auto battler. I'm like, this is not AFK.
I do like
auto I think at this point the trap that they're in is that they have made the symbol of their enterprise the genre of the game versus you look at like King and the Candy series. It's like they can make any fucking game, and as long as it has candy, they can call it candy something.
It's true.
They're now stuck in this trap of like, well, we're AFK Arena, we're AFK Journey RPG, whatever. And now, like, just every single one of their games will have to have AFK, even when it's not an AFK game.
Yeah. So I don't know, that one I want to give it a bit more time, but I'm still like, there's just too much story, and it's very, you know, RPG, someone's destroying this town, oh, it's a witch, they're magic, and you gotta chase them down.
Very standard.
That's good. I've also been playing a mobile game a lot lately, like probably too much. It's part of it. I don't have to look at. No, I said a game.
Wow.
Jeez. I've been playing a game. It's called, I don't know how to pronounce it. I'm looking at it right now. It's been a very niche genre. I know I'm like one of the only people that plays it around here. I'm very passionate about them. It's a tower defense. There's a lot of very, very, very bad tower defense games on mobile. They're
so many.
Terrible. And there's a lot of them. So I was trying to find one that was good. Like, okay. And I found one that's very good. This is made by people that definitely like tower defenses. And I was like, uh-oh. Like, as soon as I started playing, I was like, I know I'm not. This is bad news for me. It's called Infinite Ode.
It's so good, he doesn't even know the
Infinite
name of
Ode. I don't know. Infinitode?
Infinitode?
Something like that, however you pronounce it.
Like T-O-D-E?
Yeah, I-N-F-I-N-I-T-O-D-E 2.
Huh.
And it's free game. Like, they do have ads and stuff, but the ads, like, it's just for currency for, like, there's a big tree to upgrade your towers and all that, which who gives shit. But it is, like, it is incredibly good. If you people like tower defenses, it is so good. And it's on Steam, too, I think, because I downloaded it. Yeah, it is on Steam, because I did try it. And I was like, it's one of those that's definitely made mobile first, you can tell, but it works just fine on PC. But it's really good, and they have, like, leaderboards for obviously how far you make it into a, like, what wave and that kind of stuff. And then what's nice, what's cool about that is they have, like, the standard levels, and they tell a simple story where those have leaderboards, but every day they have a daily quest, which is, like, a pool of, like, 12 maps, I think, that rotate. There might be more, because I think there's more stuff I can unlock when as I go through it. But what's cool about that is that they give you the fully upgraded everything, and everybody has the same stuff. So, you know, on that leaderboard, you have access to the same stuff. It's not that necessarily they have a higher upgraded tower than I do or something like that. We all have a level playing field, and so those are pretty cool to do.
Okay.
I've been playing this a lot.
I might need to give it a try, because I agree with you. The most tower defense games I see on mobile are bad. Like, my go-to has always been Bloons Tower Defense, which is like...
That's just like, you know, okay.
Yeah, but it's kind of like the standard of, like, you like tower defenses, try this.
But this Infinitode, or Infinitode, however they want it pronounced, is phenomenal. And it's like, it's been out for several years, because I looked up the dev, and I was like, oh my god, have they made more? No. This is it.
Just
very sad. Very sad to hear that. I would love to see them do more, because it's a very complicated game. But there's a lot of stuff that I'm like, oh, this is definitely some tower defense lover people, because there's just so much. There's a lot of strategy and thinking about tower placement and stuff. Where, like, some games, like, you just throw the right kind of tower in one spot and you're good to fucking go. And this one's not so much. Like, it'll get you okay enough for a bit, but you'll notice, like, why you keep hitting a wall when you hit the certain wave level on a level, on any given level. It's just very competently made. So all two tower defense fans out there, all three of you, go try this game.
I just downloaded it. I'm excited to check it out, because I, like, my first smart device as a millennial person was I got an iPod Touch in 2009. Yes. Happened to be the year I graduated high school. And that was my discovery of tower defense, was on the original iPod Touch.
Really?
And so I downloaded one called The Creeps, which was a bunch of, like, nightmare creatures trying to get out of the closet to, like, a child's bedroom. And so you had to defend against them. And the original Plants vs. Zombies, which...
of course, that's a classic. Some,
you know, not a little bit of a different type of tower defense, but I've always considered that a tower defense game.
It is.
Good.
Yeah, this would be... I think this is scratch itch for people that came from where I came from, where Warcraft 3 custom games is where I played a ton of tower defense games.
Man, I'm learning more and more about how much Warcraft 3 has crafted, like, a lot of who you are as a person today.
Well, not just that, but think of how many games... Like, different genres. The whole MOBA genre, League of Legends doesn't exist without Warcraft 3.
It's true.
Like, that's one of the biggest games in the world and has been for like a decade. Dota 2 is also like, so there's a bunch of stuff that came, that spawned out of Warcraft 3. Wow. I mean, probably wouldn't be around without Warcraft. Like, there's so many things. It's crazy.
Yeah, and I mean, if WoW wasn't around, would Final Fantasy 14 have been such a thing?
That's, yeah, there's a bunch of other MMOs who know. Because, like, MMOs were, like, EverQuest existed, but nothing was all that pop, like, super popular. RuneScape, people played and stuff. But, like, WoW was really the, like, holy fuck. Like, a ton of people are playing this.
I just realized we had a whole Flash Games episode last week, and we never brought up Neopets.
Oh, I used to play the shit out of Neopets.
Oops.
Oh my god.
That's where I learned all my that's how I learned to code HTML. I keep being expert.
On the storefront.
I mean, honestly, there's probably so many, like, I can't believe we didn't bring that up. Like, Flash games, there's so many good Flash games out there.
Good stuff.
You know, I kinda wanna get this off my chest too. I've been playing I played the Stellar Blade demo. And I can't
get
over
for you.
No, I can't get over how misleading like all of the marketing is for this game.
Yeah,
and also the people, like, on the don't go to the Stellar Blade subreddit. Just trust me on that.
Pretty bad.
So there's that other game that people kept saying that it was really close to, right?
What?
I don't know.
No. Okay.
No, well, there's it's so people kept saying it's like Nier. We've said that it looks a lot like
right, but what game is it Nier?
I would say it's like a mix. It's like a mix of it's between a Sekiro and a Bayonetta. It's between them, but it's not equal parts to either of them. Because I think there's like because you know in Bayonetta you can take a lot of hits. In Sekiro, you can't take a lot of hits, and I feel like this game's in the middle where it's like
Goldilocks.
So it's a normal video game.
Yes, it's a normal game. But then there's still bonfires. Like, it's not bonfires, but they're basically you rest at it and it respawns all the enemies.
So this is a Souls-like.
You have to parry to like do the best damage, to like build up your meter, and then you do things like in Code Vein where you can.
I'm sorry to interrupt you, but you're not talking about the most important bits of this game.
Poor choice of words.
I chose those. Particularly,
what Sorry is the most important part of the game?
I want you to tell me. I don't need to say what it is.
But yeah, it's a horny ass game.
People want to know. Okay,
it's a horny ass game.
All right,
you have my attention.
I don't know.
I mean, we know you. He's got your attention. You play Splatoon.
yeah, you fucking pervert.
Don't look up the fan art for Splatoon. It's not. Oh, it's not the best.
Did you not see one of our metrics for anyway? Trust me, I've looked at more than my fair share.
Oh yeah.
I'm not Splatoon in particular, but of Mario Minions.
Mm-hmm. But I don't know. It's very like because I hate that most of the discussion around the game is about the horny because that's all the chuds will talk about, which then makes everyone else want to talk against that. When in the middle, there's just an all right action game, you know, like this is all over just okay.
That's fine.
Action game.
I mean, that's the problem with so much game discourse is that, like, people get lost in the sauce in all of these discussions that just don't even fucking need to be had. And it's like, well, even if I tried to wade into this with, you know, not a hot take, probably a milquetoast take, but, like, you just want to discuss some nuance in the game, people were like, oh, but the titties! And it's like, I don't care. Like,
Well, so that's kind of the thing I've been trying to figure out and where I stand on this, because like on one hand it's like it's a horny game and I can see why the chuds are into it, but you could like just ignore it and play it as an action game. But also I feel like the first shot you get of Eve, the protagonist, she's in a nude colored skin tight bodysuit,
of course,
and being pulled out of a pod, but just like showing everything. And it's like, this game will, and there's jiggle physics too, so it's like this game really wants you to recognize how hot she is. You know what I mean? So it's it's hard to ignore. It definitely feels like it's part of the game's DNA. Yeah.
Sex
but
sells.
Who cares though? Yeah, I mean, like, who gives a shit if it's in there or not?
If it gets chuds in the door, then
this is reminding me of an awkward moment that I was like, I'm glad I was alone, and I hope like nobody could see what's happening.
Yeah.
When I was playing Rebirth, because I had this like immediate realization. I was like, oh my god, I'm glad like this isn't recorded anywhere, where there's a moment where you can play as Aerith as a child, and it's in Midgar, and I was like, oh, I wonder if the plate's still up there. So I pan the camera up, but if you're thinking about what happens with the camera, I was like, no, I'm not trying to do a creep shot, like, because I know that's what's a very popular thing people try to do, that devs try to make it around so you can't do it as easily in these games. Mm-hmm. And I was like, fuck, and hey, that looked so bad when I was really just looking up at the
plate. I think Lollipop Chainsaw had an achievement for that.
Yeah.
Oh, I think you're right.
Mm-hmm. Near did, like, too, oh, if God. I remember. Like, Automata. Jesus.
And of all the times, like, as Aerith as a child, not even.
Well,
like...
I mean, that's the time that you're back in Midgard, right?
I know. Yeah, that's. Yeah. It's just like shit. Like, I don't know.
Is the plate still up there? I assume.
I wasn't looking. I don't know. Yeah, it wasn't. Yeah, it was there.
Yeah.
By the way, oh man, that like I remember in the when remake came out, like that whole they use, obviously it's just a 2D background for Midgar. I remember that effect looking pretty good, and Rebirth is not held up. It's pixelated. Yeah. Does not look
Skybox
good
ain't skyboxing.
Nah, not
I'm
working.
Sure that I'm sure that they'll put a more HD texture on it at some
on
point.
A piece. They'll do that'll be part of the reveal for the PC when they remember when they did that for remake. They like had the half and half around Cloud's face, and it's like, is it different? I guess. Like, I guess it is.
And I still need to finish that game. I need more time in it. For sure,
the last 3 hours are tough. It really kills progression, but you know,
it's
at that point
last,
you're like 3 hours
the last in. Couple hours, it's the 3 hours preceding the last couple hours.
Yeah, that's true,
because the point of no quests. Return is like 6 hours.
No, not even side quests. No, just that no. The Temple of the Ancients is just not good. They really
it's
they
bad.
They built up a narrative crescendo, and then they give you a very bland dungeon with mechanics that intentionally slow you down, so it kind of kills a lot of that momentum versus if they just let it be like maybe like a 30-40 minute thing and then like carry through to all of the end of game spectacle. It really would have nailed that landing better,
definitely, because there's that's a point fair. In it that you realize what they're going to do to you and like how they're gonna make you play in the temple longer, and I was like, you motherfuckers. Because they split the party, and I'm like, oh, I'm gonna have to do this a bunch of times. Like, go fuck yourself.
Oh, that sucks.
As they each have their long, so it was like, it took forever. Like, I went to the point of no return thinking it'd be a couple hours. I was like, it's in Slack. I was like, kept saying, it's still going. I'm in like hour five. Like, what the fuck?
Jeez. All like, right. Well, that's not exciting.
So when you get to that point, you'll know what that point is. Just be like, you know, you have a good chunk of game
it's
left.
Like that time in the middle is bland, put on a podcast, and then you get right back
then
into
there's all
the
kinds of shit
action.
That happens.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like that's the right kind after. Of shit I want to see. But like right now I'm still in, I just got to Cosmo Canyon. So
God, you have so much left in this game.
I know.
Yeah.
I know.
Don't worry about the last 3 minutes. You've got 20 to worry about before that.
Like, 25, 30.
Mm-hmm. I'm getting real tired of the open world.
Yeah. Did you? Oh well, good. There's nothing opens up more after you do the levels at all for you to be annoyed about.
Mm-hmm.
Man, there's a big ocean.
I don't even want to think about it.
there's like four things to do in the ocean.
Shut
though.
Up.
That's not very.
I didn't want to tell them. I didn't want to spoil that part. There's not much there, but it does open.
Well, it's just the pirate treasure.
Yeah.
Well, there's that, pirates. And then there's. Another thing, but
but
which I didn't do because I started to do it and I was like, I'm getting my ass handed to me and I'm not going to be here for 4 hours, so I fucked off. Anyway,
I think this is a good place for wrapping up today's podcast.
Anyway, let's start the 3 hour rebirth chat.
But thank you so much for listening. We hope you enjoyed, and if you did, leave a comment down below. Let us know what are your thoughts on the Nintendo eShop dying for the Wii U and the 3DS.
R.
Or some of your favorite. Are you as into Splatoon as Dan is? And me, of course.
Are you on a registry anywhere?
Look, I'm looking for more people to play Splatoon with online. So hit me up if you're a frequent Splatooner.
Mm-hmm. I heard freak and I was like, where is that going?
No, that's, if you're a freak, hit up Dan.
Oh man, I'm gonna get some weird DMs.
But yeah, and then hit the like button if you haven't already, subscribe just so you get these episodes in your feed whenever we publish them. And we'll be around next Wednesday for sure. But if you want more in like stories and stuff from us, we've got a lot going on at techraptor.net this week. Definitely check it out. Like things we can't say right now, but you will want
maybe
to check.
Maybe like the day after this comes out.
Maybe.
You should check some stuff out.
Potentially, yeah.
Maybe.
There could be some stuff on our website. Yeah. There will be some stuff
actually,
on our
there'll
website.
There'll be stuff on it today and then the next day.
It's true.
About a big
guys,
thing.
Guys, we run a website where stuff gets published every day. Just
yeah,
saying,
but most of it is
stuff
garbage.
Will get published is the weirdest thing.
We're just explaining how websites work, I think, is what we're doing. So, yeah.
It's true.
What's a domain?
Not every day is Taco Tuesday, but you want to shout out Taco Tuesday. You know what I'm saying?
That's true. Oh, and also, if you want all this stuff like delivered directly to your inbox, sign up for our newsletter, like our email inbox. Yeah, I've been working on the newsletter for every week. We make some fun jokes there, and you get some interesting stories. We just
if you
drive
DM
Rhett,
he'll give you $1.
Yeah.
After you sign up.
Yeah, that's true. I put that in the footer of every newsletter. People haven't DM'd him yet, but
it's true.
It's legally binding.
It's a secret.
Too. Yeah,
it's the first letter of every sentence, so the people that figured it out.
Mm-hmm. That's your reward. This is ARG.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, this has been the Tech Raptor podcast. We hope you enjoyed, and we will be back in your feed next Wednesday. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye. We'll be right back.